It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
It's 97 miles of Keys. Damn. You know, a bus on a bridge. You know, that should be that. You know, it's a movie. Bus on a bridge. All right. What we're going to do, we're going to, you know, shift gears here a little bit. Something came across our radar. It's interesting. I wanted to share with you. There is an event going on, a comedy event, minorityreports.com. Now, ticket info, you can get there, minorityreports.com, minorityreports.com. And it's, you know, it's a group of women that are giving, you know, a perspective. Desi Girls Night Out, DESI. Now, Desi Girl, I'm going to have Mona, you know, explain to us what a Desi Girl is. But she has an interesting background, you know, coming from Pakistan and growing up in a you know, traditional household, and you know, that can just squash a spirit, especially if you're wanting to share your perspective in a comedy routine. So we're going to have Mona tell us her story because I think it's interesting and I wanted to share it with you guys. And she's, along with a troop of other women, sharing their story. So if we go to this show, Mona, you know, tell me about it. It's Wednesday, November 10th. You know, so we're looking at like today, okay? So this, go ahead and tell us all about your show real quick, but I did want to get in to hearing all about you. All right, Mona, and say your last name for me. I'm gonna butcher it. Shaikh, you know Mona Shaikh? Is that how I say it?
It's close. It's shake. It's shake and bake. It's like shake it, don't break it.
All right, Mona, shake it, don't break it. Okay. Let's go ahead and talk about the show. Tell me about this. Minority Reports, Desi Girls Night Out. You're going to have to dissect all those words, okay? What's a Desi Girl?
All right. Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me, and good morning to you. And Desi actually is a slang way of saying South Asian. So not Southeast Asian, which is more like Cambodia, but more like South Asian, somebody who is from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, that sort of thing. So Desi, it just kind of encompasses that entire region in a more slang way. And the show that we have today that's taking place right here in New York City is part of the New York Comedy Festival. And our show, Minority Reports Desi Girls, is making history by being the first all South Asian and Middle Eastern female comedians ever to have a show at the New York Comedy Festival. And I'm very proud to be able to produce it, to be on it, and share the stage with these amazing, talented women.
Okay, in that perspective would be what? I'm going to go to a Desi Girl, I'm going to learn some geopolitics, I'm going to, you know, learn some social mores of the area, and are they overlapping? You know, a lot of times, even just different areas of America, you get a lot of differences. Of course, a lot, you know, the same, but what kind of tapestry would I learn? I go to this show, I'm going to learn which countries and how they differ in what way? Shopping? What shoes are preferred? I mean, you know what?
I don't know about the shopping. Comedians are usually pretty broke, so we don't have a lot of money to go out and shop. But, no, you're probably going to learn, geopolitical, maybe. Yeah, it depends on which comic is talking. But, you know, it's kind of like going and watching a comedy show with all white female comics. I mean, I guess you can pose the same question to be like, am I going to hear a different geopolitical thing? Like, what am I going to hear? Yeah, there's going to be topics that are probably going to overlap, and there's going to be topics that are probably not going to overlap. I mean, some of the stuff that I talk about, I've never heard any other South Asian female comic talk about it, or Middle Eastern female. Actually, I've never really heard other female comics talk about some of the things that I talk about, maybe because I've lived a little bit of an edgy, a little bit of a very interesting and colorful life, so perhaps my perspective on things is a little different. But yeah, you're gonna see a whole array of topics and a whole array of things that I discovered, because some of these comics are American-born and raised. I am not American-born and raised. I was born in Pakistan. I was raised there till I was 15. I moved to Jersey City when I was 15 years old. So I feel like that perspective differs. When you live and grow up in another country and you move here, I think a lot of it is comparison. But if you're born and raised here, even though you're born and raised in a different culture, you're still more, the perspective is a lot more different than an immigrant like myself.
You know, this is it's interesting. You have, you know, women from, you know, different perspective, and you kind of share that you know, growing up with four older brothers. And, you know, you almost got married off to a 40-year-old guy when you were 17. You know, I mean, that, I'm sure, would come into some routine. And you said it, so I'm interested. How does that process work, being married off? You know, and I'm sure that would, man, you could do an hour routine on just that. But, you know, I need to know how that comes about, how that affected you. Is that, you know, you were looking for your escape, I'm going Merca, you know? So tell me about that experience.
Well, I was already in America when that was being proposed to me. I don't really know what that process would be because I didn't go through it. I think a lot of women who do come from my background end up getting pressured into marriages at a young age. I was just not that person, and I wasn't going to be dictated to live my life a certain way. I was in America, the land of the free, and I was going to live my life the way I see it fit.
So you got Americanized. You got Americanized.
I think I've been Americanized even before I got to America. I think that's what happened. And you know what it is? I think a lot of people use the word Americanized, but you're just talking about freedom. You're talking about every man and woman on this planet has a God-given right to be free. We just in America really have that as you know, a major part of our fabric. But I feel like most of the world is not free. It's not just South Asia. I mean, you go to other parts of the world and you're just like, wow, freedom is a rare gem. And, you know, as Americans, we are very, very privileged to have access to it and live the lives that we want.
You know, this is a lot of the philosophy that we talk about on this show is that that's why it's called Declare Your Independence. The Declaration of Independence was had a big impact on me. And it was like, you know, the purpose of government is to support and defend individual rights. When it doesn't do that, it's time to alter, abolish, it's your right, your duty kind of thing. So coming, you know, from another background, your parents and extended family and so on have a perspective. You come to America, you go, oh, this is Monaville. You're going, yeah, this is what I was talking about, you know, leave me aloneism. But do you, in the last year or so, I'm sure this has affected your work, you know, are you feeling we're going in the right direction? This is a little blip, or, you know, finding ourselves or something, or is there something, you know, it's a V from Vendetta speech, you know, there's something wrong with this country. Are you noticing that, or by comparison, it's so much freer you don't even notice it? I mean, what are you thinking, what's going on now?
I feel like ever since Trump came into power, bipartisanship in this country died. Something very extreme happened. It's almost like there was this huge mentality or cultural shift that I never recognized before. That, you know, you have, now you have like just people choosing parties over country. And it's like, well, when did party become a priority over a country? This is America. Like, you know, first and foremost, the one purpose that our politician should be focusing on and caring for is to elevate and how do we progress this country. Country comes first. It's not Democrats. It's not Republicans. It's not Libertarians. It's American. How do we put America on top? And I just feel like, given everything that's happened during the Trump administration, I just feel like bipartisanship died under him. I mean, just look at even how our politicians speak today. They can't come to negotiate. They're constantly canceling each other out. You're just like, what happened? This is not the America I recognize. So I think I've been definitely a little heartbroken.
Well, Trump just expose it or cause it? You know, you think the Biden administration is it's going to get better or worse?
I feel like there's a lot of fear. You know, Trump's entire campaign was ran on fear. And I think a lot of people somehow look at someone like myself and they're like, oh, these brown people, they're coming and they're going to take over the country and we're going to be a minority and all these foreigners are coming here. And it's like, listen, if you look at most of the executives in like corporations and even studios and entertainment, they're all white. So I think a lot of people need to just kind of take a deep breath and be like, we're not here to take your jobs. I'm not here to knock you off your lifestyle. This country, the way it's built, a lot of people move here, especially people like myself and my family, is because of the separation of church and state. That has been a huge factor. Look, I am not a super religious person anyway, or religious for that matter. And for me, like having access to being able to say, hey, I don't want to pray five times a day, or I don't need to be religious, and I want to go and tell jokes on stage and do that for a living. Yeah, you can do that. And I feel like we have gotten a little bit off track ever since Trump. I don't know if he has built it or exposed it, but I think he definitely exasperated it for sure. I feel like maybe there was a little bit of it and he just fanned the flames, baby. He just fanned the flames all the way to just be like, look at these strange brown people. They're coming here. They're going to take your job. And then they're going to marry your kids. What are you going to do now? And, you know, and it's just like, listen, if it's a cute white boy, yeah, I'll marry him. I don't have a problem with that. But I'm not coming to take over anything. I'm coming here. I'm working hard, just like a lot of immigrants do. Let's not forget that all the, you know, I'm sure even yourself, Ernest, I'm sure your ancestors came from Europe. So either we're all immigrants, children of immigrants, grandkids of immigrants, or great-great-grandkids of immigrants. The only natives here are the Native Americans.
Yeah, no, you're talking to a libertarian and all that stuff. Yeah. We're hopefully way above giving a crap about any of that. What I am interested, though, is the effort that you put on to do this comedy festival. You know, you were talking about you were helping to create this. You had a lot to do with the production of this effort. I mean, is that true? You know, you're working on it?
Yeah, so I started my show, Minority Reports, at the world-famous Comedy Store in Los Angeles, which is where I reside now. I don't know if you've been to L.A. or heard of the Comedy Store. That's where Richard Pryor, Robin Williams, Jim Carrey, all your legends came out of the Comedy Store.
Yeah, no, I'm familiar with the Comedy
Store.
So
that has been my comedy club. Yeah, that has been my comedy club in L.A., And I went and pitched it to them and I said, hey, all due respect, I don't think you guys will ever pass someone like me. What if I just produce a show and brought in people who look like me? And they were like, yeah, sure. And I started doing that show. I would have Tiffany Haddish come in, Nikki Glaser, Eliza Schlesinger. We would have all these amazing comics that would come and do spots. And then I turned it into a nationally touring show and I took it to Orange County and we did our first Desi Girls, and we had over 330 women show up to a show. And I was like, my goodness, there's a huge demand for this kind of content. Like, I feel like a lot of the time, mainstream comedy clubs or even major networks look at somebody like us and they're like, well, that's a very tiny you know, that's a very tiny market. It's like, no, you don't understand. These people are incredibly well-to-do, and they're willing, and they're looking for content like this. So I've been very happy about my shows. I mean, that show ended up getting featured in LA Times. We got written up in Forbes. Larry Flint of Hustler Magazine, actually, was a big fan of ours. We're the only clothed people in his entire magazine. Very happy about that.
So going to New York, how's it going there? You know, you think you're going to have a good show?
Do you hear the noise? Do you hear the noise in the background? The
construction? Yeah, somebody's banging on something.
That's New York for you.
Well, how is it when you went to New York after all of the, you know, this thing that's going on? Is it vibrant? Yeah. Is it coming back? Or does it seem like a ghost town? Because, you know, last summer, you go by through New York, it was eerie. You know, this is like a dystopian sci-fi movie. You know, how are things on the street now there?
It's been a lot busier. I mean, you know, they made it mandatory in New York to have, you have to show your proof of vaccination. And you have to show your ID. So you can't like BS someone to be like, yeah, that's why, you know, you have to be vaccinated. Every place that I went to has been really busy. The subways are pretty full. Everything, like, it looks like life has pretty much returned to New York. But I must confess, very much cleaner than I left it. Much, much cleaner. I think maybe because a lot of people have been home because of the pandemic. And there's not enough time to go out and throw, you know, trash in the streets. So, but it's been a lot of cleaner. And also, can't really smell the pee on the homeless people when you get to the subway. Improvement.
so when you go to, like, you're going to your event, you know, is it just the city and everything is required to have your ID? Or is that part of the condition of getting a ticket to go? I mean, you know, how much of that obligation to check is yours as an event coordinator?
I mean, in at my events, at my shows that I'm having this week, the one I have tonight and the one I have on Saturday, November 13th, both those venues have made it very clear that proof of vaccination is required. So if you show up and you don't have proof of vaccination, you cannot get in.
How is that done? I'm not familiar. You know, I'm from Arizona and Florida now, and we've been traveling the country, and we've been pretty much just avoided all that. I mean, mask, everything for a year and a half. We go in the store. Uh-huh. So it hasn't even really impacted us, but of course it's a thing, and we cover it. But I'm wondering, is it a QR code? Is it a piece of paper, a tattoo? I mean, how do they
do that? You have your vaccination card.
So there's an actual card. You know, is it government card?
I'm sorry.
I'm assuming you're
not vaccinated. Is that what's happening?
No, we're not. No, okay. We haven't had to. You know, it's just not hadn't been a thing where we've gone from Maine to Washington, done a lot of activism all across the country, been down, you know, from Southern California, and the reason we're in Florida is because it's the last leg of the trip. We've been since May of 2020. We've been on the road. So this has been, you know, a big tour. And now we're doing a bunch of activism today, or people banging at the door just now. We're making signs, doing stuff. But the thing is that throughout this thing, my wife and I just, you know, we're not fans of mandates, but it's just, we just kind of ignored it. And we just walk in the stores and go, and, you know, we're middle-aged old white people, so we're invisible. I mean, they just ignore us, you know. You know, we're like background noise. But you know,
you know who doesn't ignore you? COVID. COVID does not ignore you. COVID. So when you walk into stores, do you not wear the mask?
Never.
Really? Because you don't believe in it.
We do a lot of shows with the scientists that, you know, from the beginning. We took it seriously. In early on, you know, we got an oxygen generator and a temperature thing, and we did immune system boosters and that kind of stuff. And, oh, my God, we've taken ivermectin. But, you know, we just haven't had any problems. You know, we count on the immune system. I'm much more worried about the shot than I am. And the papers. I mean, that's just something that really, this is not, whenever you have mandates from a government to stick fluids in your flesh, that never turns out well. That's where I'm coming. Just thought we're gonna go through.
I have to disagree with you on that. I have two brothers that were given the expired vaccination for polio and ended up getting polio because of it. And I think a lot of people don't realize is that the reason we don't have deadly diseases today, like polio and measles and smallpox and the Black Plague, is because we have vaccinations. And thank God for science that's been able to save us and that's been able to have us live over 30. So I'm gonna disagree with you.
No, I understand. You know, I'm thinking nutrition probably had a lot to do with a lot of things. But it's, you know, it's not even that, you know.
Sure, nutrition helps. Well, I'll tell you, Ernest, I have friends who have got COVID. I have a friend of mine, Wayne, very successful music composer, and he held the same belief systems as you. He was like, this is all too much. It's overblown. I work out. I take care of myself. I'm good. He got COVID. Very, very sick. He has permanent brain fog. Permanent. He's like, every 3 weeks, I gotta sit in a hyperbaric chamber, decompress, sit in there for an hour, because without that, I cannot process anything. He's like, I get really tired and I begin to pass out. And he goes, I, for the longest time, didn't believe in it. I was just like, this is nonsense. It's overblown. And he goes, now that I have it and I have permanent health damages, he's like, I wish I had listened.
You know, this is, and that should be an individual. I mean, we're getting kind of off topic, but. You know, do you believe that a government should mandate these shots and force people into it or quarantine them? Or,
when as a kid, you go to school. When I moved here from Pakistan, they made me get vaccinated. That was a mandate.
Yeah.
It was mandated for me to be vaccinated. If I don't get vaccinated, I don't go to school, period. That's
well,
a mandate.
You know, our family.
So
you know,
how have we been okay with this mandate? How have we been okay with this mandate this entire time, and now all of a sudden people are getting bent out of shape because we're trying to get out of a freaking pandemic?
We're crazy people. We pulled our children out in private school because of that, you know. And now I have 12 grandkids. They're not vaccinated, and 6 of them did homeschooling after you started doing the mask mandates and so on. And then 4 of those 6 are back at school, but they don't have the mandates in Arizona anymore. I mean, so there are crazy people like us that, you know, believe what we believe. And that's one thing that you come up against. I'm sure it's part of the shows and people. They'll go up against, you know, crazy anti-vaxxer, Trump voter kind of whatever, of which I'm not. But, I mean, you know, these cultural differences, you know, and these kind of things, of course, make it into comedy routines. And I'm sure it would be interesting from your perspective and people from different parts of the world. Is that an American thing? Is there other people in other countries you think where you're from that have kind of a, I don't know what you call it, a conservative view, or just, nah, I don't want government forcing notions and potions in my flesh. That has to be a segment somewhere else, or is it just uniquely American? You know, it's you crazy people in America.
It's American, but it's also German. It's been, most of the folks that I've come across, that I have friends in India, I have friends in Pakistan, you know, and in other parts of the world, friends in Brazil, people are dying there. They're getting sick and they're like, just jab us. They're like, just jab us. We want to get out of this pandemic. We just jab us. I mean, I just feel like all the folks here who don't want to be vaccinated, I feel like we should just take those vaccinations and pass them on to other parts of the world who do want to be vaccinated. I feel like as Americans, we're, with all due respect, really freaking entitled. Like, we act like we just know everything. This whole thing, I'm sorry, I know we've started on this, but, you know, this whole thing that I'm going to do my own research. You can't do your own research. I have at least 5 scientist friends that I've spoken to, pathologists, doctors, scientists. You cannot do your own research. What, are you going to hire your own lab and know your own scientists?
Some people.
Okay, you have that kind of money to go and buy, I mean, what are you talking about, your own research? That's insanity. How is it that me, as an immigrant, is more inclined to following science and respecting it versus somebody who's an American born and raised? I don't understand.
Is there news stories, or is there statistics, or is there, I mean, you know, if there's a lot of damage, see, I can go on and defend myself. I don't want to go down that road and, you know, leave on an argument, but, you know, is there anything that can happen, the result of these vaccines, that would cause you pause, or you've already made up your mind?
I'm already vaccinated. That's the reason that I'm even in
New York. I mean that you would advocate force on coercion and losing jobs and everyone, other people that don't want it. You know, is there anything they could say to go, oh, okay, well, I guess we should kind of slow down on this now, you know, because we've been following this for, God, over a decade, you know, because it was, you know, vaccine injury stuff that kind of got us on this. When H1N1 was another pandemic thing that was tried in 2009, and we could see that that's what this tour is about, is against the mandates. And it's you go to Love Bus Liberty Tour, and you'll see all the, you know, we're in Spokane, 6,500 people show up. I mean, it's way more resistance than I think someone realizes, and why. And you go, why would these people think this way? Why? What's their reasoning? What's the big deal? And So to them, it's a big deal. And I'm just a freedom guy. It's like, hey, you know, but some people go, you know, I mean, they even say it on the mass media. They're like, you know, freedom doesn't matter when you're dead, you know, kind of thing. And I'm just going, wow, I've heard this kind of stuff before over history, and it doesn't go well. So I really err on, you know, that's, we have
depends on, I guess it really depends on what is being mandated. If a bunch of people are being put on a train to be sent to gas chambers to be murdered, yeah, and that's mandated by a government, yeah, I understand people being outraged and standing up to that. However, I mean, just look at this. You've been on the road since May 2020. You have to wear a seatbelt when you drive. Is that not government mandated?
Depends what state you're in. Not New Hampshire.
Okay, maybe not New Hampshire.
I wear it because I
want
to.
But majority of the states, it's mandated. But yeah, but isn't it mandated for you to have a driver's license when you drive your car? Why? Why should government mandate that?
Good question. We should talk about that. I'm not, you're not going to get me to be, you know, about mandate of anything. That's the whole thing that we can see when this stuff starts.
But
to
you
go
do.
Wrong.
But you do. You do. You do live through mandate. I mean, half the stuff that you do, it's mandated by the government.
You know, I have a niece that we visited here in Florida in Jacksonville. And we just found out she was pregnant. And our whole side of the family, we just never, certainly the pregnant women, you know, we just, you know, don't vaccinate. And she's, you know, it sounds a lot, you know, like you in this conversation. Yeah, and the science, and she goes on. And there's really no arguing because, oh, well, it's been nice visiting, you know, whatever, a few days, and, you know, it's time to go. But it was the attitude that there isn't any evidence that would cause pause. There's, you know, I believe the government, there's a lot of trust in government edicts, and that was never that way. And I'm just, you know, I default to leave me aloneism every time and been more right than not. So I'm just, I just advocate freedom's the answer, what's the question? And a lot of times there's people, yeah, but, and I'm going, I don't know, your butt's not really going to, you know, come down. And as much as I would advocate for many different things, my line is coercing or forcing others to do it because I want it. That never turns out well in history. And I would think from a lot of the countries that you and your friends from.
Yeah, it has turned out well. It has turned out well. Yeah, that's why you don't have polio today. Mm-hmm.
The polio in Africa is from the shots.
And smallpox.
The polio in Africa is from the shots.
In Africa.
It's from
you mean
the shot.
Expired vaccination?
Polio is from the vaccinations.
You mean from the expired? Sure. Expired anything will probably ruin you. My brothers, I mentioned to you, two of my brothers have polio because they have expired. They got expired vaccination. If the vaccination was valid and it was good, they would not have had polio.
Another
they got
reason
it
not
of
to
that.
Trust the governments. Yeah, I want my fresh.
Okay, if you're gonna talk about, you're not gonna talk the trust the government, then the car, the truck that you've been driving around the country, that was from government mandated you know, agencies put in place to make sure that your wheels aren't going to be in place when you drive, your engine's not going to fall off. These are all government mandates, whether you want to believe it or not. These are government mandates.
You know,
when you go on the street and you drive your car, you stop at a red light. Why? Because it's government mandated. You move your car when it turns green. Government mandated. Most, if not all, things you do are government mandated. Then why are people getting so freaking bent out of shape to just get the hell out of a freaking pandemic that has killed so many people around the world and continues to kill people? You have folks in Brazil who are dying every single day, dying to be like, just jab up, just jab me. Can you get me a vaccination? So why are we so absolutely ridiculously entitled in America to be like, we know more than science? You don't. I'm sorry. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. You don't. I've spoken to a ton of scientist friends, ton of doctors, pathologists, and they all say the same thing. Just get the shot. We need to get out of this pandemic. And the interesting thing about this pandemic is also, unlike polio and measles and all that, this virus, it changes. It adjusts itself to the host and gets even worse and more aggressive every single time you don't vaccinate, and every single time it passes on, which makes it even more deadlier. So I'm sorry, Ernest. I hope that you would consider and your family would consider getting vaccinated. I understand you're on the road. I understand there's a whole lot of resistance. I think what I don't understand is this whole mentality about, well, the government's not going to tell me what to do. But it does every single day. Every single day the government tells you what to do.
But I get to choose what I agree with, will comply with, or not. That is a very American
thing. No, you don't.
Yes,
no, you don't.
Watch me.
You absolutely don't.
Watch
you absolutely don't.
Watch
and you're delusional to believe that.
I'm delusional.
That is ridiculous.
Yes, I'm.
You're delusional.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, what my show is all about.
Being delusional. I'm great. I'm glad I woke up this early morning to have this conversation.
Well, I'm glad you had an opportunity to express yourself. You obviously wanted to.
I get plenty of opportunity. I get plenty of opportunities to express myself. I'm a stand-up comic. I get up on stage every night.
There you go. Well, this is going to be part of the show, I'm sure, man. You're going to vent. You know, this is you know, interesting. We get
well.
To
yeah,
this.
I'll be talking about you. I'll be talking about you, Ernest.
Of course.
On,
you know.
Yeah.
This is, you know, and the one thing I just want to make sure that you know. From my perspective, you know, if the vaccine works, then I don't understand what everybody's worried about, especially the people that take it. You know, okay, you took it, you're good, right? Then what do you care about me? I mean, you'd like, see, it's like the government, you know, putting things
because
in,
we
in,
exist on the same planet.
But you're vaccinated.
We have to share and
you're
breathe
vaccinated.
The same air.
You're vaccinated.
Yes.
Okay.
But you don't understand how the virus works. If you're not vaccinated, I am vaccinated, and you're not, the virus continues to metamorphosize and get worse and worse. And even though if I get, you know, COVID from you, it's not going to affect me. It's not going to put me in the hospital and kill me if I'm vaccinated versus yourself who is not vaccinated. And God forbid, at your age, if you get COVID, it is going to do some serious damage, sadly, even cause death. I know you're smiling. You don't believe me. That is totally fine,
no,
but I'm
going to
go back to the mentality of mandate. I'm going to go back to the mentality of you saying the government's not going to tell me what to do. Well, I hate to break it to you. The government's been telling you what to do for the longest time, and it continues to tell you what to do.
You know, when I first started, I was young and I started being politically active, the big issue was government fluoridation of water. And I'm just going, okay, you know, so why? And they're going, well, this is healthcare being forced on you by, you know, a government agency. And I go, what do you mean? You think the government gives a crap about your teeth? And I go, wow, no, they put fluoride in the water because they love your teeth. And I'm going, okay, maybe not. So I see it from a different perspective. I mean, just so that you understand why you're like, why are these people as such? And it's a way larger percentage than they're willing to admit. But what do you think? You think, you know, I don't know, 10%, 20%, or just we're not getting, you know, vaccinated? Or you think it's less, more? What percentage do you think you're dealing with?
I don't really like to pull numbers out of thin air. I don't know what that number is. I just know that folks like yourself who are out on the road. And of course, when you go around more conservative states and, you know, more, I guess, not so blue states, there is a resistance to this mentality that the government is coming and telling me what to do. Well, the government's been telling you what to do for a very long time.
Yeah, I've been making that
only
argument.
Only this time. Well, you can make that argument, but it's there. But the truth is that we are all in this pandemic, and there's no way in hell we're going to get out of it unless everybody gets vaccinated, everybody moves on. We need to eradicate this virus. It is transforming every single time. It metamorphosizes every time. It keeps getting deadlier and deadlier, and that's because people are not getting vaccinated. And in the words of Howard Stern, F your freedom. I mean, it's not just about your freedom. It's my freedom, too. It's not just your freedom. If you don't get vaccinated, and listen, I was on the subway yesterday. It was packed. If majority of those people were not vaccinated, okay, and I'm on there and I'm covered up, I mean, you're talking about the virus just floating and just getting worse and worse. Yeah. I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to be a part of that. So New York City would not be open today, and I would not be here doing the New York Comedy Festival if the mandates were not put in for people to be vaccinated.
I understand your perspective, and it is shared by a lot of people. This is, and in the end of this, we're going to look back. You know, there's been other pandemics like this before in my lifetime. When you get to be older, you know, you kind of see the cycles, you know, what and how they're handled and what happens. And then, of course, then the lawsuits start, and then the industry wants to be protected, and then they got their own court, and then they do the, you know, I mean, it just, I've been through this so many times that, you know, you start to see a pattern after a while. So I'm...
Have you ever been vaccinated about anything? Have you ever been vaccinated at all?
Yeah, I'm sure when I was a kid, I remember when they did the, you know, you had your arm scar that you got from whatever the hell it was that they were doing. And it's... No, we were always taught to really focus on our immune system, and I just don't get sick. You know, I think I got, you know, a couple of months ago, I got, you know, man, it really took the energy out of me, and I wasn't getting off the bed for 3 days, but it was, and that might have been attributed to COVID or whatever, but, you know, my immune system kicked in, and we're fine. I'm much more afraid of, you know, science manipulating my body. See, I never thought that the human spirit would go away. You know, I just, you know, people always, and this uniquely American thing of, you know, freedom. You know, I just want to be left alone. Leave me aloneism. I'll go over here and build my home and do, nope, you're not allowed. You got to have a government permit. Well, I want to complain about that. Nope, you got to have a, you know, free speech permit. You know, I got to have a permit. So it just got to the point to where I internally understood that I was being manipulated, controlled with fear and force. That never, just throughout history, it just never works well. You know, it never has my interest at heart. And all these politicians, everybody about how much they love me and we got to do to get back to, you know, the new normal, whatever the hell that is, and great resets. There's many other agendas behind it. And because I do a lot of shows and I've been political activist, run for office a lot. I mean, you know, we've been very politically active. And, you know, and people in the audience know who I am. But, you know, the big thing is that I've always seen it go bad when I put my rights in someone else's hands, when I have them make decisions for me. When they tell me how I'm going to raise my children and what they're taught in school and what we put in our bodies and what is and is not even organic, that they set the standards. Am I allowed to not care what they say? Am I allowed to do what I thought that was the purpose of the United States federal government, was to defend the Constitution against all threats from the outside and inside? And it's all about supporting the rights of the individual. We don't think in terms of collectives. And that's one of the things when people start going on about other cultures coming in. You know, great, bring it, man. You're right. We're a diverse culture. I had a restaurant in Phoenix, so I had a lot of Hispanic workers. They were my best employees. You know, they came here to work. You know, that was the point. And it was a cultural thing. And I'm going, boom, my best friends, my assistant manager was from Mexico. So I'm not averse to it. What I am averse to is when they give the I-9 employer form and it says, under penalty of perjury, I have attested that I have examined the documents and that they have a right to work. That bothered me no end, that they would even say that. They have a, I go, here, fog this mirror. You got a right to work, you know? So for me, it was an individual human-to-human thing, a voluntary interaction, voluntary temporary alliance of agreement of whatever the hell. When I got Uncle Sam coming into my marriage, you know, my wife and I got married in Pennsylvania. We came back to Arizona. It was totally different laws that we got were married by, you know? And I'm going, whoa, wait a minute. I didn't have a forced menage trois with Uncle Sam on my wedding night, you know, this prima nocte crap. And I'm going, when the hell did that happen? So every part of my life, when you talk about, yeah, you're living under mandates of God, I go, yes, I am. I don't like it, you know? And the whole purpose of them was to prevent that from happening to me. That was the point. That's why this show is Declare Your Independence. And I don't need a government form. I just go, yeah, I'm free. Peace out. And I didn't have to fill out a form. So when I act that way, and if it's to someone else's preference that they don't like, well, no, you should be made to do that. And I'm going to have somebody chasing me down, or my children or grandchildren, with a syringe that they want to force notions and potions by, I don't care what you call it, science, government, something. I'm just, that never turns out well. So when this plays out all through and we start having, you know, like what's going on in Israel, and you're talking about, yeah, there's a lot of illness. And as we're looking, because I actually, with the open mind, go and look, the statistics are all the people in hospitals are the ones that are vaccinated, you know, because they're having problems from that. And athletes are dropping like flies. And we're having, I'm going, this is, well, see, you say no, but what happens when that turns out to be common knowledge? Would you change your position? Nah, their problem was not the vaccine. Their problem was resistance to government demands. You know, the problem is if you just listened to what you were told, we wouldn't have had this problem, where a lot of us would say, well, that's where the problem started. And it always starts there when you're going to collectivization or collective solutions for everybody. It's just, you know, we collectively go down the dark side. So that's why we take the positions that we do. And I just want, see, I family members are people that, you know, they get the vaccine because for travel. The big thing is nobody's going to tell me when I can't get on a plane or I want to go to Jamaica and we're going to whatever. A lot of it is going to concerts, going to, you know, restaurants, making it inconvenient in different states, being able to travel. Those are not good health reasons. You know, I that's coercion, that's force, that's intimidation. And I don't like that's living just- in a country okay. that emphasizes that.
Okay. Cool. Awesome. I think you made your point, and I think I made my point. I know that you're not going to get vaccinated.
Well, let's go ahead and promote your event before you go.
So we're going to be in this pandemic a lot longer because of folks like you, and it's too bad. But this has been a very interesting conversation. I've never woken up early in the morning to be told why getting vaccinated would be a bad thing. But I had my show at the New York Comedy Festival tonight. Definitely going to be talking about you, Ernest. And I had my show on Saturday, November 13th, 10 p.m. at Caveat. I don't care any of your listeners actually give a damn, but that's what's happening for me. And I hope if you're listening, just so you know, immigrants like myself and folks that are in not so fortunate countries would love to take your vaccination. So if you don't want to get vaccinated, just send your vaccination to those folks. They would love to be vaccinated.
And I wouldn't use force to prevent them. So this has been interesting. Good luck. I think it's an interesting, you know, perspective. Yeah, Desi girls from around in South Asia that, you know, want to give their perspective, and hopefully Mona has been able to express.
It's a little bit more than that, Ernest. It's not just perspective. You keep saying it perspective. It sounds like a freaking presentation, but it's a stand-up comedy show with the voices that are not really considered stories that are not really considered human, but we're trying to show that just because you're brown or from another country, your stories are just as human and just as valid as Amy Schumer and Nikki Glaser telling their story. So I know you keep using the word perspective, and yes, there is a certain thing that
freedom is a perspective.
It's mostly just coming.
Yeah, it's a line from V for Vendetta, which was all about a pandemic that they used to take over control of politics, but you know.
Okay, now we're going to fictional movies. Okay, awesome. This has been really great, Ernest.
Mona,
I'm glad. I hope you do get vaccinated. If you come to California, I won't be able to meet you until you get vaccinated. But thank you very much for this. I appreciate this.
Thanks, Mona. Good luck.
Thank you. Bye. Thanks. You too.